From Clocher Valley in County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us as Gospel Minister the Reverend Peter McIntyre is here to let the Bible speak and preach Christ in all His fullness.
Hello and good afternoon. Peter McIntyre with you for the next 15 minutes, bringing you the Word of God through song and through the preaching of God's truth. I hope you'll take the time to stand still and listen to what the Lord would have us to hear. Before I proceed any further, could I give you a special invitation to a week of meetings we're having in our church this week. They're especially for young people. And it will end on Friday night with a praise service. We'd be delighted to see you. In a few moments, I'll be reading from Romans chapter 4. Today, our subject is Thoughts for Good Friday. First, listen to the words of Man of Sorrows. What a name. This afternoon we're reading from the book of Romans, beginning at the verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences, and was raised again for our justification. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. This afternoon, please consider the opening words of verse 25. Who was delivered for our offences? This week we are looking forward to the first major holiday period of the year. For many, Easter represents a few days off work. Others see this season as the ports we pass through into spring, as we officially wave goodbye to the long dark nights of winter. Some will entertain visitors, others may visit the seaside if the weather is accommodating, and there are those who will take on the challenge of gardening. Is this all? Is there not more to Easter? Of course there is more, and therefore churches will welcome increased congregations, on Easter Sunday particularly. But if this season only means one day in religious exercises, along with Christmas and the occasional wedding, funeral and baptism, then I am afraid the Christian message which ought to dominate at this time has not made any impact upon your life. You see, at this time, Christians rejoice in something which provides the believer with a way of life, which is peace, love and joy. What is this message? Today and next Wednesday, I wish to consider the two great pillars of the gospel which we consider at Easter. Both are found in Romans 4 and 25. Next week, we shall think about the resurrection of Christ, because this verse says he was raised again for our justification. Today, however, we shall consider the death of Christ, highlighted by the phrase, he was delivered for our offences. In a few days, many will think about our Lord's sufferings on Good Friday. Let us consider that subject now, at this time. Firstly, please notice the cause of his death. Our text states that he was delivered for our offences. The question to be asked here, however, is who delivered him? In other words, who sent our Saviour to his death? Was it Pilate, the Roman governor, who signed his death warrant? Was it the Roman soldiers who beat the crown of thorns into his skull and who lashed his back until it became a seething mass of raw flesh and who nailed his hands and feet to the cross of wood? Was it the Jews who cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him"? While all these individuals conspired to bring our Lord to his death, they were not the root cause of his passion. No, it was not Pilate, nor was it the soldiers, nor yet was it the Jews who crucified Christ. Who then delivered Jesus to such a cruel and painful death? The answer is found in Romans 8:32, where we read concerning God the Father, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It was the eternal Father who delivered his one and only Son to die the dreadful death of crucifixion. Acts 2:23 also testifies to this fact, where Peter said, Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Here the apostle clearly identifies the Jews of being guilty of taking Christ and killing him, but they only did so because Christ was already delivered up to die according to the everlasting and unchangeable decrees of God. In the Old Testament we discover the same truth in Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. The Father, who is here called Lord or Jehovah, both ordered and executed the death of Christ. It was he who bruised Jesus and caused him to endure the deepest and the darkest of torments. Christ bore witness to his Father's will in his death from the cross, because he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet we must never portray our Lord as an unwilling victim, forced to suffer at the hands of a cruel and overbearing father. The Father planned that his Son should die, but Christ was glad to accept this path in perfect obedience. In Psalm 40:8, Christ is represented as saying, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. In Hebrews 12:2, Paul even taught that Christ had joy as he was impaled to the tree, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We must also remember that while the cross was a great sacrifice for Christ, it was also a terrific sacrifice for his Father. He loved his Son in a way that defies human expression. Yet he delivered his beloved, the darling of his bosom, his only Son, who dwelt with him from all eternity, to such an ignominious death. Above all, we learn this. Jesus died of his own free will, as a result of his Father's plan. Cruel men did not cause him to die. It was part of the plan of God from eternity. Secondly, I would like you to think about the purpose of his death. The great question facing us now is this: why did God send his Son to Calvary? What was the purpose in it all? He was delivered for our offences. We begin now to view ourselves in relation to Christ's death. In viewing ourselves, we behold something particular: our offences. This word offences teaches us that we have offended someone. The Bible instructs us that we are guilty of offending God. In Romans 3:10-12, Paul highlighted this spiritual condition which had befallen all men. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." When we offend the law of the land, there is a price to pay. This price may involve a fine or even a prison sentence. Within the parameters of God's law, he demands that all offenders must be punished in hell for eternity. But he, as a merciful and loving God, in wisdom devised a way by which the offenders could become his children. As a just God, however, he could not simply turn a blind eye to sin. No, sin would have to be dealt with. Therefore he sent his Son to the cross to bear the punishment our offences deserve. On Calvary, Jesus actually suffered hell for us. He became guilty of your sins and my sins. He was delivered for our offences. Therefore, at this time, we ought to remember the love of a Father and Son who gave so much for us. Because of their love, there is hope for everyone. And there is hope for you, whatever your circumstances. Jesus died for you. He died for your sins. He died that you might enjoy real and lasting peace. Here's another question: how can you enjoy the benefits of Christ's death? By living a good life, by going to church, by being religious. The truth is, if salvation were through these activities, Christ would not have come, because then we would have been capable of saving ourselves. No, Christ came and died because this was the only way by which we could be set free from our sin. Therefore, it is only Christ who can save you. And to enjoy the benefits of his saving work, you must put your faith in him alone. We are converted through faith in his blood. Would you not come to the Lord today and pray, "Father, I confess my sins. Will you wash me in the blood of your Son and make me your child?" Will you not do this? Trust the Christ who died and become not simply religious, but a child of God, saved from wrath and born for heaven.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you would like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Welland Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. That's Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Welland Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. You may hear Mr. McIntyre preach each Lord's Day here in Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8952-1611. 028-8952-1611. We assure you of a very warm welcome at all the services and look forward to having you visit with us. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord richly bless you, and don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week, when once again we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.